Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, we're going to start off with U.S. equity markets because we're seeing some weakness on the first two trading days of this week. Yesterday, on Monday, the markets were kind of grinding along, but in the last couple hours of trading ended very weakly. And today, again, a bit of a weak market. Still choppy sideways, but in the negative territory. And we do seem to see tech or the NASDAQ leading the way lower. Joel, what are you taking away from this environment? Really, what everyone's wondering is, are these markets breaking down? Is this the start of a bigger pullback?
I wish I knew. Good afternoon, Corey. Good afternoon, investors. Thanks for having me. Could this be the actual May where you sell and go away? Right now, we ended April. This is basis the S&P futures, 41.74.50. We did make that new all-time high on Monday, actually, in the pre-market session. And we are lower. Is this a turning point? I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. Is this a place where I consider to step in and buy the dip? It all depends. You know, I'm buying a dip today in some of these value stocks that have had outrageous rallies. No. Am I combing the ditches in some of these growth stocks, sort of, you know, Cathie Wood's little empire? Are some of these stocks getting reasonable valuations? Maybe, but just one point I want to stress and discuss this with you, Corey. When you have a stock like Zoom that makes an all-time high at $588, this was back in October, and then it hits a price of $273.35 today, oh, two-for-one stock split, is it a bargain, right? Is it a bargain based on price? And what I tell you is no. Because you still have the stock trading at a forward PE of 76. So be careful. You know, what if you're in this for a trade, if you have a technical level, something, that's much different. But if you're looking at things in reasonable valuations, I don't know. That's not, it's not there yet. So I hope that I hope that answers your question on that. I would say right now I'm neutral. I'm not bearish. I'm not uber bullish, but there's definitely some chinks in the armor here and another set of rotation going on.
So, Joel, two-part question here regarding growth stocks. Look, you can try to analyze growth stocks in terms of PE ratios or any sort of valuation metrics. And quite frankly, I think you're going to be left with your head scratched saying, wow, these valuations are very high, even after any sort of a pullback. Couple questions, though, is growth dead? And how important is growth for the ability of the broad averages to keep moving higher?
Well, you've heard of GARP, right? Growth at a reasonable price, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then you have GARP also, growth at a ridiculous price, right? So there's a median there. Boy, and I mentioned this. Last year, the U.S. population had less births than it did since 1979. So if you have an aging population and it's not being replenished, then there's not growth in it else just coming from more and more people. A lot of the growth that we've had is there's more people. There's more people going to McDonald's. There's more people buying stuff on Amazon. So if you're looking for a long-term generational thing, you know, maybe growth has stalled and there's going to be a period of that. When you have a pandemic, when you have something like this, new things come out of the industry. From 9/11, right, security became a much more important thing, right, personal security. Now from the pandemic, you know, what is going to – is it going to be healthcare? Is it going to be biotech? So there is growth, but I think you might have to look for it in some different places.
Joel, where are you seeing as sweet spots right now? Are there any uptrends that you think have a lot more length to run here? Because really that has been, as much as we talk about rotation, it is still a trend following market, and these some uptrends have lasted a long time.
I mean, these commodities, you know, and the commodity stocks and things related to that. I mean, they're booming. And one thing about commodities is when they start going one way, they keep on going. The infrastructure play in the country, you're steel. I mean, if these things don't come to fruition, you're going to have a massive reversal. But I mean, the trend is your friend, and the trend's been in, lumber and soybeans and corn and the commodity and farm, John Deere, Caterpillar. I mean, would I be taking starter positions in these things? Only if I planned on adding to them. I would be, I'm just cautious up here. You look at a stock like Nucor, right? A steel stock that basically is between 30 and 70 for like 3.5 years, and then goes from 60 to over 100 in 2 months. I mean, that's a trend. How sustainable it is, I don't know. But I think if you are taking entry points in these things, don't wait a long time to find out you're wrong.
Yeah, well, that's a thing, right? We're seeing some of these commodities and some of the underlying stocks, which makes sense, just skyrocket higher, but kind of brings it back to the whole concept of just how sustainable is it when you have something like copper that just screams to all-time highs in almost a straight-up fashion. It doesn't necessarily matter what individual stock or sector we're looking at. Anytime you get these sort of moves, they can reverse quite quickly.
Yeah, and what I like to do on those, I mean, with commodities, it's a little different. They make it a little bit more convoluted with the rolling contracts and everything. But just a general rule of thumb is, I like to keep an eye on that. What is that closing high price? What have they pushed it to on the close? That's where the farmers are marked. That's where the hedgers are marked. For something like, corn. It's got as high as 735 and a quarter. It's so funny. They got 735 and 2/8. I always thought that was a quarter. And you got a high close for the move at 732 and a quarter. So I look at that. Down day yesterday, up day to day, but not quite up to that. So keep an eye on, those closing, what those all-time closing high prices are, what they are on a relative basis. And then, if it looks like they're struggling at that area, like the corn here, corn's definitely developing some resistance, three highs between 730 and 735. Well, let's go there. Let's take out the 735. Let's go to 740. The other thing I like to keep an eye on is the highest low of a move. And when you keep an eye on that, it gives you a reference point. Now, the highest low in the move for corn, this might not be the best example, is 715 and a half. You got back above it on the day, and you're back above it today. So I think the closes are more important. Just make sure whatever you're in, whether stock, commodity, or futures, just make sure it's improving on that all-time closing high as opposed to that high print.
Joel, let's also quickly touch on the precious metals too, with gold and its breakout last week above 1800 and now challenging that 1850 level. Look, there's a lot of technicians that can break down how this chart is looking. Quite frankly, it's still not an all clear for gold on the upside, but a very encouraging break last week. What's your view of gold and the recent uptrend?
I mean, right now, do I like, being a long-term holder of the GDX and the GLD? I don't like what I'm seeing. I'm seeing three highs in the same area, just under that 1850, 1844.60, 1846.60, 1842 and a half today. I mean, it's clear, it's got there, whatever, 1850, you can call it. I actually see a daily high before we broke down at 1859 in February. So, it's just a range. If you're looking for, if it doesn't break out and it breaches 1820, then boom, you're back at that $1,800 scenario. It's pausing. I think the longer that it stays up here, 1830, 1840, and builds a base, then the more chance of it busting through. Also, from a retracement standpoint, this is just based on the front month contract. You had that high. Where was that high at? Let's just call it 2,100. Let's just call it. It was under 1,700, but that was like a 400-point move. Boom, 1,700. It get through 1,800, and then let's work on 1,900. So, still holding those positions long term. I just would like to see it get over 1,850.
Okay. Joel, fair enough. You're not alone in wanting to see that break because, again, it's not as clear-cut as some of the gold bulls would want to say is that it's a straight-up shot from here. There's a lot of resistance levels and a couple key ones that gold needs to take out to really continue this short-term, for right now, uptrend. Joel, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll post a link to the Benzinga website where everyone can listen to the recordings of your pre-morning prep show. In the meantime, we'll chat again next week. Joel, really appreciate your time, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Corey. Good luck to everyone out there.